Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
One of the things that I just kind of want to let you know that as I get the opportunity to stand in front of you and be trained to rightly divide God's truth and bring it to you, there's one thing that you never have to worry about: long lunch lines. Okay? So, I think I have a lot to say, but the time says otherwise. So, we will get started that. Good morning. And you can go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We will be in verses 21 through 26. And I'm going to start with a quick story while you're doing that. Back in my early 20s, as a volunteer with the Newtown Fire Department, now before you get to thinking too much, hear me out. Back then, because it was a long time ago, you really only had to answer yes to two questions. The first question was, would you run into a burning building? And you know I did say I was in my early 20s, so check that, okay? The second question was, would you be willing to get a cat out of a tree? I got to tell you, that one almost had me. I was almost gone. And then I realized that they really didn't tell me how I could do that. So, yes. So, with that being said, and you got to forgive me for that one, trying to be funny to even out my anxiety or my show here this morning. So, needless to say, they hired me on. On a serious note, though, being a volunteer, we had to attend monthly trainings, because we weren't schooled. We had to do monthly trainings. And you would think that when we did those trainings, if the fire was put out, we were done. But that's not the case. We had to go through the whole burn site to make sure that there were no embers that could reignite that fire after we were gone. Our chief would tell us, in structure fires, where there are still embers, the fire could start right back up. And in one instance, he explains that they were on a house fire, and they put the fire out, and in the middle of the night, it reignited and burnt the rest of the house to the ground. This lesson in Matthew chapter 5 reminded me of that story. Anger rarely starts in a blaze. It starts as a member we choose to keep warm. We may call it venting and even justify our frustrations. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus warns us that unaddressed embers of bitterness will burn down our relationships, our worship, and our soul if we don't extinguish them quickly. We may think of it as just the big sins like violence or murder that destroys lives, but Jesus says that we should be concerned way before that. Subtle eye rolls, grumbling under our breath, hidden contempt are like embers that burn into destructive blazes. He shows us that long before anger becomes a weapon in our hands, that it's already burning hotly in our hearts. Remember last week when Tim highlighted that Jesus taught with authority? In the first century, rabbis built their credibility on quoting established experts. We do the same thing today when we quote people like N.T. Wright or R.C. Sproul. But every human teacher, me included, we operate on borrowed authority. But Jesus was different. He was God in the flesh, the very lawgiver that met with Moses on Sinai. So it was a big deal when Jesus stepped onto that mountain in Matthew chapter 5 to directly challenge the established interpretations of his Father's law. Jesus wasn't offering suggestions. God in the flesh was clarifying the point of the sixth commandment. And we like to cover it up sometimes, like saying, well, technically, I didn't break that rule. Or I've never killed anybody, so I'm good. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. You shall not murder is the number sixth out of the Ten Commandments. But Jewish rabbis added the part about being liable to judgment, which suggests that they were more focused on the future penalty and missed a deeper lesson. So Jesus, he opens up a window into the heart of the matter by shifting the focus from external legal compliance into internal kingdom transformation. What's going on in our heart right now? Let's look at the verse Tim covered last week in Matthew 20, where it says, where Jesus says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easy for us to read, you shall not murder, and think, as long as I don't physically kill someone or end up in court, that I'm righteous or I'm right with God. But Jesus shows us what God meant, that God meant something deeper in verse 22, where he says, but I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whosoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whosoever says, you fool, will be liable to hell fire. Now, English translations confuse the issue by making us think about hell itself. But Jesus used the word, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Gehenna. Close enough? I meant to ask you that before I got up here. But anyway, which refers, in the scriptures, refers to a smoldering garbage dump in ancient Jerusalem that was known for the place where human sacrifices were made to false gods, where rots and burning trash were. And Jesus linked this to them because they all knew it, a present reality in their world at that time. This wasn't about making them fear hell. It was about dealing with current issues of their heart, like anger, insults, name-calling between siblings, nursing anger, harboring contempt, using gossip to assassinate somebody's character. Long before these put us in danger of any final judgment, they make us less human, less than what God designed us to be. They make our soul like a smoldering garbage dump that ruins us from the inside out. They make our hearts like Rumpke Dump, where the stink and the rot impacts every relationship. When garbage sits too long, it becomes something like Gehenna. In other words, when we let our anger smold, it becomes a little less than human. We become little less than human and dehumanize others with foul and abusive language, or even much, much worse. How did Jesus suggest handling our anger before it blazes out of control? Stinks up everything and ruins the goodness that God created. Well, let's look further into verse 23 to 26, where Jesus says, "So if you are offering a gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hands you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Jesus doesn't leave his hearers without concrete direction in dealing with this kind of anger. His point is that reconciliation takes precedent and priority even over worship. Let me ask it like this. After reading what Jesus said, would it be too much to imply that reconciliation should come before lifting up our voices in songs together? Before our time of confession? And even before we come to this holy meal of communion? I would think that's exactly what Jesus was suggesting. As we continue through Matthew's story, we discover that our natural question would be, how can people do what he says? This takes us back to a new covenant promise found in Ezekiel 36, where it says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit would I put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, the flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." In closing, I would like to share with you a real life example to me of how harboring anger and letting embers burn out of the control in your heart could be trouble. I once worked alongside of a man who made a huge moral failure. He had an affair with a coworker, resulting in a child. The backlash in our company was immediate and severe. Outraged on behalf of the victim, colleagues and associates shunned him. He was passed over in advancements, and eventually, I was promoted to management above him. He left the company, but years later, he returned. The man who came back was consumed with bitterness. You see, he was starting over where we had already moved on in our career. His unchecked embers of jealousy and contempt had turned into outright hostility. If he detected weakness for those who had worked with him, he weaponized his authority against them. The toxic culture that he created became so destructive that our HR department forced him to take mandatory anger management classes. Eventually, through the series of corporation shifts, my boss left the company, and this man was named the new manager of my department. And one of his very first acts in this power to demote me to an installer. Then 3 short laters, I was fired. For years, he carried the heavy debt of anger, letting it simmer until it was completely ruined, until it has completely ruined his character and dictated his actions. He proves Jesus' point here in Matthew chapter 5. When we refuse to settle the anger in our hearts quickly, we just don't hurt others. We become prisoners to our own bitterness. Jesus shows us that unchecked anger is heart-level murder. But what about unchecked desires? Next week, we'll see how Jesus applies this exact same surgery to the way that we view and treat others sexually. I know these are hard truths and difficult actions to take. But as we say all the time, you don't ever have to take your next steps alone. We were told he would give us the Holy Spirit, and we have each other. Just reach out when you're ready. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, I would have never have guessed that these 4 verses would begin to pierce my heart in things that I've learned along my journey and connect them to how you are transforming us. You're sanctifying us, Lord, with kingdom thinking. God, I thank you for this study. Lord, I pray that we would receive it. God, I pray that your Spirit will work as we know it will in the hearts of your people. I ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.